Mo Ryan joins us right now. Mo Ryan, of course, the fine television critic over at Variety. We've had her on the show before to discuss television with us. How are things, Mo? Everything nice?
Everything is grand, yes.
Good, good. Can I ask, the Academy Awards, we're very excited about it Sunday night. Is it still as big of a deal as it once was? Is it still one of those things that people will be watching live? They don't DVR it. They watch it while it's happening, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think social media has really driven a lot of that. In terms of being big, like, I look back to years that, like, Titanic was nominated or the Lord of the Rings films. I mean, a lot of the films that are nominated are really great, don't get me wrong, but they're, like, you know, they're not, like, the biggest commercial movies. But I think people want to see people dressed up and see what they say, see if there's any controversies. And honestly, award shows in general, like, sort of behind the scenes in Hollywood, they're very hot tickets. You know, people are paying for top dollar to the rights to various award shows because it does get people to tune in live, and then that drives people watching the commercials live. So that's kind of the name of the game still for a lot of TV networks.
You know what's strange, Mo, is there's a couple channels, most notably E, that do red carpet treatment. And I think their coverage, I'm not exaggerating, I think it starts around noon or 1 o'clock.
It does start early.
Yeah. But part of that is, I mean, what I always say about awards is people will just come at me and say, well, it's just stupid, it's all dumb, whatever. Well, sure, but you know what? If it gives promotion to work or films they think is really good, and they might need the promotional boost and the PR help, that's fine. But also, it's rich people getting dressed up so that I can judge them.
That's really totally it.
They should call it that. That would be a great name for the show.
It's a long, cumbersome name, but really it's like, let me judge you rich people.
That's really the only thing I tune in for. And actually, I don't even tune in anymore. I wait till the next day or 5 minutes later when everything's posted on Twitter and on the internet.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I'm looking at the dresses on Twitter, you know, even before, and I'm like, oh, girl, what did you, who
talked what were you
into
thinking?
That?
Yeah.
Why?
Yep. And, you know, Wendy mentioned this yesterday a little bit. It makes us miss Joan Rivers more than ever whenever they do those red carpet shows. Yeah.
Yeah, and even Kathy Griffin. I feel like they've kind of neutered anyone who would occasionally say something or do something like goofy or just funny or silly or not. You know, everything is so, like, everyone is, oh, you look perfect, you look amazing. Everything is so flattering. I mean, there are some latter-day shows that try to do that kind of fashion police thing. But I think she was definitely at the top of that game.
And the thing with Joan Rivers is you had so much respect for her that you didn't care if she said something that wasn't right.
Yeah.
She could get away with it.
Yeah, she would kind of go over a line, but then, you know, she also made fun of herself.
Right.
It wasn't like she felt like, you know, you felt like she viewed herself as being like, you know, better than everyone.
I miss
her tremendously.
I really do.
So much.
Yeah, of course.
All right, speaking of saying things that are a little bit controversial, it's probably not fair to ask you because I don't know how up on this you are, but I'm very interested in what's going on with Bill Maher right now. Are you up on the story at all?
Yeah, I am. And I've been following it since sort of the whole thing blew up. And truth be told, I've been following the story of Milo Yiannopoulos, who is this... He calls himself, I think, a provocateur, but I think that's often just a code word for someone who likes to be awful for money. So I've actually been following his career for years because, you know, there's been various movements, especially online, in which, you know, people are harassed or threats are made and so forth. And he's one of those people that always takes a step back and says, oh, it wasn't my fault or I didn't tell anyone to do anything. But he's definitely led to a lot of divisive and negative things happening online. It was actually banned from Twitter for some remarks and basically actions that led to Leslie Jones and I think others being harassed and made to feel awful, which, you know, so he's one of these people who's really good at getting PR for himself and even got a book deal, which many people objected to because, you know, he's really peddling, in my view, my personal two cents, he's peddling hate speech.
Yeah.
And that's not a new thing at all. I mean, don't you love these people who come along and say, I'm this person who's new on the scene, willing to speak the truth. And I'm like, you know, the stuff you're saying, it isn't new.
Sure.
So it just really bothered me that, you know, Bill Maher brought him on his show Real Time. And even some of the usual panelists who go on the show wouldn't appear with him. Because I think at a certain point, I believe in free speech, as that's one of Bill Maher's core principles, and I understand that. But at a certain point, when does that cross a line into just giving a platform
right.
to hate? And
right.
I personally think at some point you got to just draw a line.
And one of his guests, Bill Maher's guests, last Friday, canceled saying essentially what you just said.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of a show that gives a platform to this guy.
Right. And yeah. why? I mean, the thing is, you can summarize his beliefs very quickly and very easily. And I, you know, like it's really. To some degree, I think it was about getting publicity for Bill Maher's show. And, okay, mission accomplished, but at what cost?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that it was actually the kind of PR that he ended up wanting, but maybe I'm wrong about that.
But, I mean, I don't know. I don't ever watch Bill Maher. I don't even particularly like him that much. But maybe he was having this guest on so other people could do a point counterpoint kind of thing, because there are people that are in the news for bad things, and sometimes we think, well, that would be an interesting guest.
Right.
Yeah, I understand. And I think, though, with someone who, I mean, there's a difference between someone who has a differing view from you or me or whatever, and it can conduct themselves in a way that is kind of a civil conversation, whereas, you know, what he's, I mean, if you look at the kinds of stories he's written and the kinds of things he's gotten behind the kinds of things he's said, it's really appalling to me that he would get to promote that further. I mean, essentially, it's a branding opportunity for him. It's a way for him to promote his book, which, by the way, his publisher now just turned down because of certain comments that he made, and he lost speaking engagements. But it's interesting to me that where people draw the line. You know what I mean? I think it's, for me, there is a line. There is a line of people that, you know, I would draw it here, maybe you would draw it there, maybe Bill Maher draws it there. But it's interesting to me that when Milo and people like him were harassing women and people of color and LGBT people and anyone who wasn't like them, you know, that was okay for his publisher, and that was okay. Even after, you know, despite all the controversy, it was okay for Bill Maher to have him on his show. I just think, I don't know, there are people I'm sure that Bill won't have on his show. So why, I would love to know more of where that line exists for him. And the thing is, now I see him taking credit for Milo losing his book deal, which I think is not, I think that's giving real time more prominence than it really possibly deserves.
Bill Maher is taking credit for that?
Bill Maher is taking credit for
yeah.
it. He
yeah.
said that, you know, his theory is you bring a guy on and just give him a little bit of rope and see how much he can hang himself. And to some extent he did. But now the new twist on this is, after this guy, Milo Yiannopoulos, gets, he loses his book deal and he's losing other endorsements and they're really criticizing him.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody found this tape of Bill Maher from a bunch of years ago, commenting about the Mary Kay Letourneau case. She's the teacher who had the affair with the, I think he was a 12 or 13-year-old boy, and Bill Maher is defending that. After Yiannopoulos said he believes that a grown man can have sex with a 13-year-old boy, and he got in trouble, and Bill Maher was all over him for that, then they found this old tape of Bill Maher defending a woman in her 30s having sex with a 12 or 13-year-old boy, and now
mm-hmm.
he's in trouble for that.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just interesting to me that, you know, I do believe in free speech, but there's also such a thing as hate speech, and where does that line exist? And I think, in a way, like, the most amusing thing out of this whole thing for me is that Bill Maher thinks that it was him that lost him the book deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that that's, I think that's giving him, you know, that to me reveals that it's much more about puffing up the brand of his show than it is about anything else, you know, and getting attention for it. But sometimes, as I said, I think that attention comes at a cost.
That's why I'm so not a fan of Bill Maher's at all. I just find him to be very smug and irritating.
Mm-hmm.
He can be smug. He, more times than not, is both smug and at times irritating. But more times than not, there's a really nice point that's running through it, you know?
This I don't one, make it to the end to well, get the point.
That's fair.
He's just a tune-out for me.
Yeah. All right, Mo, stay where you are. We've got more with Mo Ryan. Mo, of course, fine television critic over at Variety. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder at WGN. All right, if you're talking top television critics, the name Mo Ryan will certainly come up. She's the critic over at Variety and appears with us here on the show from time to time. Mo, let's discuss this show Taken that's starting up on NBC. This is kind of it's the Liam Neeson movie, but in TV form, right?
Exactly. And don't expect to see Liam Neeson on the show.
Oh, all right.
Just FYI, it's basically a version of the character. The actor who plays the Liam Neeson character in this is played by Clive Standen, who, if you ever watched Vikings, which is a History Channel show I actually like, he was on that for a while. So, it's essentially, there's a ton of reboots and remakes, you know, for TV at the moment. There's a version of Lethal Weapon on TV. There's versions of other big movies that have kind of made the jump to TV, Training Day, things like that. So it's a trend that's very much going to keep going. It's gathered steam the last few years, and it's going to keep going. And I actually, you know, I didn't think the first episode was the best installment that I saw, but I thought that as it got going, it's kind of like if you want an action hour, something like The Blacklist or, you know, something like a TV show on Cinemax that I really liked called Strike Back.
Mm-hmm.
There's that kind of show where it's like a team has to do a thing and there's, you know, fights and whatnot. I thought it was pretty good. You know, Jennifer Beals is in it. She's really good. There are some, the cast around the main guy is excellent. So it's that kind of show. It's not like it's going to reinvent the wheel. It's not as good as the movies, but if you like an action hour, I think it's pretty credible.
Now, in the movies, there have been three Taken movies, and by the third one, you go, boy, Liam Neeson's family sure gets kidnapped a lot.
Do not be related to that guy. It's a very bad idea.
But on TV, it's not that guy's daughter getting, his daughter's not kidnapped by different people every week,
well,
right?
No, I guess there's a revenge plot. I'll put it that way. I don't want to give away too much, but there's an ongoing revenge plot. And to be honest with you, I didn't think that was all that interesting to me. As a sort of mission of the week thing, I thought that stuff was a little bit more intriguing. Mm. I think they've got to sort of pay homage to the movie with that ongoing revenge plot. But I don't, you know, if they do set up a little bit, maybe that'll be more interesting to me. I'll have to see.
All right. That's fair. I was telling Wendy, I watched that show on HBO, Big Little Lies, with Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon, and I was extremely disappointed in it, but I'm hearing great things. The reviews on it are really good, but for me, it was just women complaining about each other for an hour.
I enjoy that.
Are you all right with that?
Well, here's the thing. The landscape for TV is such that in this year, there's going to be, just in the realm of scripted TV shows, at least 500 shows. So when I began as a critic, there were maybe, I don't know, like 100 and something.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look. But it was a lot less. It was at least two-thirds less, like 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So what I think is going on is, like, there's just a lot of different subgenres. You know what I mean? There's a category for everyone, and there's shows for everyone. I mean, it can be a little overwhelming to know, like, what's good, what you might like, what out there is good, which is why, you know, read me or read other critics. You know, we can kind of give you some pointers. But I actually think it's kind of a good thing that, you know, I think Big Little Lies is a show that's going to appeal to a subset of people. There's another show coming out soon called Feud, which is Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange playing Joan Crawford and Betty
Davis.
That
looks awesome.
Yeah,
can I just tell you that?
So fun. Let me tell you, I really enjoyed it. And it's really for people who love old Hollywood, who love those stories about those iconic actresses. And, you know, it really gets into the problems that they face and their challenges. And it's fun. It's both fun and kind of an intriguing history lesson for me. So the thing is, like, I've actually talked to other critics or people who've seen it. It doesn't come out till March 4th. And it's one of those shows where either you're on board or you're not. And I think that there's more shows like that. There's more shows where it's like, okay, you either fully like that kind of thing or mostly like that kind of thing, or it's just not your cup of tea, you know? And I guess I can't view that as a bad thing, although it means that I can never sleep because there's just too many shows.
Come on, sleep's overrated. You don't need
sleep
to sleep.
What is that?
Come on.
Who needs it? Only babies need sleep.
Right.
I got to ask you how Jessica Lange and Susan Sarandon's portrayal of the lovely ladies, is it a good one?
I really think so. I mean, I think that they really get at, I mean, what you wouldn't want is for them to just kind of do an impression of them or try to imitate them just physically. I think they really try to get at the core of the actresses And I think in that regard, they get there really well. And I think especially with Joan Crawford, I think, you know, in pop culture, she's kind of regarded as a joke because her daughter's book and was turned into a movie, you know, Mommy Dearest, and it's this campy kind of insane, you know, movie. And, you know, I'm not saying that she was a saint. She may have drank a little too much. She may have been a little bit too out there at times, but I think that the cool thing about this is that if it was just a movie about the making of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, which is what the TV show Feud dwells on to some degree, it would have to be superficial. But I think they've got 8 episodes, so they can kind of get into it more and give you more of a sense of what struggles that they had to overcome. And, you know, they did fight. They did have sort of like a juicy, I don't know, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills kind of, you know.
The original, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that these actresses are so good that they allow you to see different layers of them and not just the sort of tabloid version.
Well, you know how when Psycho came out, people for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years said, boy, every time I look in the shower, I think about Psycho. I'm like that with wire hangers and Mommy Dearest. I've not touched a wire hanger in 30 years where I don't think about that book.
I know, right?
Mo, always fun to talk to you. Thanks so much for your insight. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Warren.
Mo Ryan, television critic for Variety. Go to Variety.com and you can read her there. We'll take a quick break and then more show Bill and Wendy WGN.